Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. What a monster weekend of college football that we have. So let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in the coach, Mike Samford, former head coach at Western Kentucky, was the interim last year at Colorado, and Coach joins us on the Zach Gelb Show. Mike, how you been?
Hey, I've been really good. I'm actually going out for pregame warmups here, Meade High School versus Durango. So I'm in the school, so if you hear any announcements in the background, I apologize.
Oh, wow. Right before you're getting ready to coach a high school football game, and the next thing before that, you're on with us? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect football type of night, right? Friday Night Lights is nothing better.
All righty, so when we get to the big games this weekend, I want to start you off with Florida State at Clemson. You have a Florida State team that is better than Clemson on paper. Clemson loses to Duke early in the year. This is a big statement for Florida State, but Clemson can kind of calm everybody down with the victory this weekend, going up against a team with national championship aspirations. What do you look for here between Mike Norvell and Dabo Sweeney?
Well, you know, obviously, I think Florida State's got to rebound with how they played. I don't think they played particularly well up in Boston against BC a week ago. And I think the storyline for this game is going to be Cade Klubnik. You know, how is he going to perform? I think he has the ability to be an elite quarterback and did show it at times down the stretch in last season. We just haven't seen that this year for whatever reason it might be. I think the environment at Death Valley is going to be incredible. And I think it's a little bit one of those games where Florida State's got a whole lot more to lose, per se, relative to their season. Clemson's got the weight of their, you know, their Tiger Nation in the background as well. But I think it's going to be a very, very close football game. And I think Cade Klubnik, my personal opinion, is he's going to have a bit of a breaking out performance.
When you look at Colorado-Oregon, we've all been so impressed with Colorado and what Coach Prime's been able to do in three games. And now you go up against Oregon, right? The Ducks are a top 10 program. We know they're well coached with Dan Lanning. Bo Nix back in Oregon and looking like a Heisman Trophy candidate early on in the season. What type of game do you expect here between the Buffaloes and the Ducks?
Well, I think it's going to be an incredible football game. The storylines surrounding it are absolutely second to none with the offseason comments made by Dan Lanning. And I think even recently he made one about that you don't win football games on YouTube channels. But I think the big thing for Oregon is if they smell blood in the waters, they got to put their foot on CU's collective throats, and they got to take the life out of them. Because I'll say this, just having watched Shador several times in person and certainly on TV, Shador Sanders is the type of player that you don't want to give any life in the fourth quarter to. He's already proven it. What he did in that 98-yard drive at the very end against Colorado State I haven't seen very many quarterbacks at any level do that with such poise, such confidence, and make every throw. So, you know, Oregon, if they want to win this game, they better put them away, and they better put them away and stay aggressive throughout the third and fourth quarter.
With how much you've watched Shador Sanders, I know, right, Coach Prime basically said he's going to come back next year, but I kind of will believe that when I see it. I don't know which way to lean on that. But projecting him as a prospect in the NFL potentially as soon as next year, what do you think a team is getting if they draft Shador Sanders?
Well, I think they're getting just absolute champion blood in his DNA. I mean, it's like literally coursing through his veins, and you see it when he plays. You know, I think when Coach Prime was talking about he was going to bring Louis, I mean, I think, you know, that's even whatever designer brand is better than Louis, he was talking about Shador. I mean, this guy truly is. He has that grit. He has that tenacity, and you want him with the ball in his hands when the game's on the line. And so I think a franchise in the NFL immediately gets somebody that they know can go win a game. And that's really what NFL games come down to, is the last possession. They're usually 1-2-score games, and Shador has proven that I think he can win those types of games and not flinch.
Coach Mike Sanford here with us, former coach at Western Kentucky, was the interim last season at Colorado. Utah is expected to get Cam Rising back going up against UCLA. The Utes, Kyle Whittingham, we know how great of a coach he is. I still think he's underrated when the Pac-12 the last two seasons, but they've maintained being undefeated this year, 3-0, going up against Florida, going up against Baylor without their quarterback. So now appearing like they're getting their quarterback to return, you think, okay, right, Utah's going to win the game even though they're going up against a tough UCLA team. As a coach, how do you kind of try to calm down those emotions a little bit earlier from the Utah side of it when they're naturally just going to be so jacked up getting their leader back to the lineup?
Well, Cam Rising, it feels like he's been playing there since just right after Alex Smith got done. I mean, he's been the starting quarterback forever. So, I mean, I think it's just going to be business as usual for Utah. And they've been a program that's really been, you know, just outside of the elements of media coverage. And they just keep going to work and they just keep winning football games. And they do it with incredible line play, offensive and defensively. And I think Cam Rising is the missing ingredient to make them just a really consistent, efficient, and even dynamic offense. And I think he is one of the best leaders in all of college football. I saw that firsthand a year ago when CU played against Utah. Cam Rising is a special player, and it's more because of his intangibles and what he means to that program.
Oregon State and Washington State, what's the key here? I expect a ton of points coming up on Saturday evening.
You know, I think both of them play really good defense. I really do. I've been really impressed with Oregon State's defense. You know, it's been fun to watch DJ Uiagalelei. That's a tough one against all of us. But watching his development and him finding joy in playing football again after his stint at Clemson. But I really like, you know, Jake Dickert's defensive scheme. They've held, I mean, what they did at Colorado State in the opening game of the season was absolute domination. You know, so I think that game's going to be really close. And at the end of it, one thing we do know, Zach, is that somebody's going to hold up the Pac-2 championship trophy. And that's going to be something to watch.
One of my coworkers, Andrew Perloff, calls it the Tupac, is the way that they should be going about that one. So that's a good line out of you as well. Coach Mike Sanford here with us for a few more moments at Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, previewing the monster slate of games this weekend in college football. Ole Miss at Alabama. You look at the Crimson Tide going back to Jalen Milroe. Everyone's wondering what type of offensive performance Alabama will have with their backs up against the wall this weekend.
It's a big game for both coordinators. You know, the storyline of Lane Kiffin calling out is Kevin Steele calling the defenser as it moved on to Travis Robinson. And then obviously Tommy Rees leaving Notre Dame and really leaving a pretty good situation and going to work for the most successful and also the most demanding head coach in the history probably of college football. You know, their offense has to perform. And that's, I think everybody feels that nationally. I can't even imagine what it's like being the coordinator in that situation. You know, so I think it's going to be a game where, you know, Alabama's got to get back on track. They've got to show what they're capable of being this year, because I think everybody's ready to throw them in the pile of just, you know, this is Alabama has moved on. It's not, college football is in a different state and Alabama is not ready to join it. So it's a big game for Alabama, to say the least. And, you know, Ole Miss is going to be ready, and Lane Kiffin's going to have a bunch of tricks up his sleeve, as he always does against his former boss, and it's going to be a really good football game.
I know you were at Notre Dame for a little bit, and you had a heck of an offensive line, if I may say so myself, when you were there. Ohio State at Notre Dame, we've seen the last 2 years the way to beat Ohio State is the Michigan formula: beat the snot out of them in the trenches and run the football. We know Notre Dame is capable of doing that. What will ultimately, though, determine in your mind between the Buckeyes and the Fighting Irish and what's supposed to be a heavyweight fight coming up Saturday evening?
It's going to come down to the turnover battle, in my opinion, because Notre Dame is going to play that style of football. The beauty of Notre Dame, though, is that they can do that. And if they do get into third and long situations, they have one of the more experienced and right now one of the most confident quarterbacks in all of college football. So Sam Hartman's the real deal. I've loved what I've seen out of him so far. You know, I think this is going to be a dominating performance, and I think we're all going to be talking about Notre Dame's offensive line if they can hold on to the football and not turn the ball over and give Ohio State opportunities.
I know you love the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, but if I had to put you in that Ohio State offensive room and you were coaching up Kyle McCord in this big start up against Notre Dame at Touchdown Jesus. Just what are you advising him to do this weekend?
It's pretty simple. You know, it's MHJ. Find Marvin Harrison Jr., extend plays, use your athleticism, and pull a Shedeur Sanders and run around and find double eights. I mean, I think it's really important, obviously, for Ohio State to get back on track.
Do you think he has what it takes? Because last week, you know, he had a great performance, but it seems like people were pumping him up too much, which makes me a little bit concerned with the opponent that they were going up against of, you know, maybe people are doing a little premature celebration there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Zach. I haven't seen it yet to know for sure that he's ready to perform in a major environment against a very good defense, a sound defense. So we're going to see one way or the other if Kyle McCord truly is the answer for Buckeye Nation. And I think it's going to be really important that he gets confidence early in this game and they give him completions. Ryan Day is one of the best game planners, in my opinion, in all of college football. Plays to the strengths of his roster, but particularly the quarterback position. I think he's going to do a good job of getting Kyle some confidence early in that game.
All righty, last thing I'll ask you, Coach Mike Sanford, who's here with us, former Western Kentucky coach, also was the interim for Colorado last year. Iowa at Penn State. You look at the Nittany Lions, I think they'll win this game. The question is just by how much. But Penn State overall as a team, a lot of buzz heading into this season. Do you think they could beat a Michigan? Do you think they could beat Ohio State who they play later on in the year?
They're one of my favorite teams right now through 3 weeks of football. I really like their completeness as a football team. I love Drew Aller and what he's been able to do. I don't think he's even really needed to have the type of signature performance that I think he's going to have against what is always, I think, the stingiest defense in Iowa in college football. It's going to be an electric atmosphere in Happy Valley, and I think it's going to be a Drew Aller introducing himself to the entire nation type of a game. But I think it's going to be closer than most think just because of that Iowa, you know, defense and then how they play the ground and pound and control the clock. So I expect a fairly low-scoring game, but I think Penn State's going to ultimately win it because of quarterback play.
Coach, always appreciate the time. Love when you join us. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Zach.
You got it. There he is, Coach Mike Sanford, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. It is a Monday, or it is a Friday, excuse me. We do this segment every Monday and Friday on CBS Sports Radio. It is Onsides, Offsides. Five questions, five answers. We get to that next.
Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
You did it. Along with millions of people who prioritized their health and got vaccinated against COVID-19 to help protect against severe illness and hospitalization too. Now let's keep it up.
Keep it up.
With this season's updated COVID-19 shot designed to help protect against recent variants. According to the CDC, you can get a COVID shot at the same visit as your flu shot if you're due for both. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more and schedule on the CDC's vaccines.gov.
Keep it up.
Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Hickey, I actually have a question for you right out of the
gate. Wow. Okay.
So reversed. A source has told me that Hot Take Hickey is getting dragged this weekend to a friend's housewarming about an hour away from the city in New Jersey. Now, the Penn State game is at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Iowa, Penn State, and Hickey will be there all day and all night, if my sources are correct there. Onsides or offside? Hot Take Hickey is annoyed that he's getting dragged to a housewarming.
Offside.
Really?
These are my friends.
I know, but come on.
These are my friends. They're Penn Staters. We're going to watch the Penn State game. I got my laptop. I got a second screen as well. So don't worry. The other games will be on. I am, even though I'll be off the home turf, I will be right at home.
Why do you need a laptop and all this other stuff?
For the other games.
Penn State, Iowa, one TV.
Penn State, I mean, I feel like having multiple TVs, they're not huge, huge sports fans. I don't think that's
I thought
unfair
they were big
to
Penn State
that.
People. Rah, rah.
And
go
so you
State.
Got the one big TV for the Penn State game, and then Notre Dame, Ohio State's there. We got Oregon State, Washington State on the third screen. We are ready to go.
This is not an apartment. This is a house, right?
A real house. They are real adults, unlike myself.
And your buddy doesn't have a man cave here where he's got like three or four TVs? You can't buy a house and only go with one TV.
Well, they have multiple TVs, scattered around different
rooms.
In
a room, you need three or four TVs. Like in just my one apartment that I have, which is a New York City apartment, which isn't the biggest thing in the world, in my living room, I have two TVs. You gotta have multiple TVs here. That's a bad job out of your buddy. So, let me just ask you this for clarity. How many people are going? Around.
I think eight of us.
Okay, so you got eight people. All couples?
Yes.
Okay. Food going to be decent?
Yeah, I think so.
You think? You don't know.
Well, I don't care about the food as much, so I don't know. We got pork butt. That's going to be on the menu. I know that.
Pork butt. I like that.
So...
I was not expecting those words to come out of your mouth, honestly.
They got a smoker, so.
Okay.
But yeah, as long as I don't have to eat, I don't have to drink. As long as the games are on, I will be fine. I can be outside in the pouring rain.
But that's the thing that concerns me. When you have multiple people there, a bunch of couples, is football really going to be the priority on what is a great college football Saturday from sunrise to sunset? We have just a loaded slate of games. I just want to make sure that you're covered and good. And I feel as if you're walking into a situation where you got no offensive line. You don't got a good wide receiver. You don't have a good running back. Your coach stinks. Some may even say you're like Justin Fields right now. And you're getting asked to be Superman and save the day. That's what concerns me here. I don't think you're being set up to succeed on an enormous college football Saturday.
Trust me, I'm in charge. I'm the head coach, the quarterback. I'm blocking for myself. I'm the GM. I'm picking the players. You know what? And I'm also the commissioner. I placed myself in the Super Bowl. I got this on lockdown. I am ready to go.
You know who you are? You know what coach I will compare you to?
Let's hear it.
Jim Tom Sula. You give off Jim Tom Sula vibes.
Trust me. There's no flubbing of tomorrow. We are going to be ready to go, yeah. Rain and all. Games will be watched and consumed, and good times will be had.
You could put on this this look that you are happy. No man is happy having to go to a housewarming situation when there's a great weekend of college football. You want to put on shorts. You want to put on a t-shirt. You want to make whatever food that you want to make, order it on your own couch, and be on your home turf. Road game this weekend, it was a bad job by the scheduling committee. But anyway, get to the five questions.
So we have talked about it. It's a big-time college football weekend. Will we see any upsets? That is the question. Florida State, tricky game at Clemson. 2.5-point road favorites. These Seminoles are for that high noon kickoff on Saturday. The big one at night, number 6 Ohio State on the road at number 9 Notre Dame. Buckeyes right now favored by 3 points. The team everyone's talking about in college football, number 19 Colorado, 21-point underdogs at number 10 Oregon. And number 13 Alabama at home is a 6.5-point favorite over the 15th-ranked Ole Miss running Rebs. Onsides or offsides, there will be at least one upset of these games listed.
When you mean upset, do you mean outright winner from the underdog or just covering the spread?
No, outright winner. Upset.
All righty. I do like Notre Dame to beat Ohio State. So there's one. I do not think Colorado beats Oregon. Ole Miss, Alabama, I plus the points. I feel like I'm leaning Alabama, though, by a field goal. So you go through those games. Yeah, I like Notre Dame over Ohio State. I think they, you know, I plus them plus the 3.5 early in the week. I do believe they're going to win the game outright. So Florida State, Clemson, I like the favorite in Florida State. So, yeah, there'll be at least one upset, and I'm circling really Notre Dame to beat Ohio State. But if not, I do think Ole Miss is capable of taking down Alabama. I just, everyone fading Saban this week and making it seem as if they're dead. I understand why that offense, I didn't pick them to the college football playoff before the year started. I never, like, don't put Saban in the college football playoff. But I could see why there is a cause for concern, but I'm just like a little scared of that. So I'm going Alabama by 3, but I could see them losing this weekend.
All right. Last night, 49ers 3-0 on the season after a win over the Giants. And fresh off that win, fresh off the first 3-0 start since 2019, both head coach Kyle Shanahan and GM John Lynch were given multi-year extensions on Friday. Now, since 2019, San Francisco has 1 Super Bowl appearance, 3 NFC title game appearances, and 6 playoff victories, which is the second most of any NFL team in that span. Onsides or offsides, the 49ers will win a Super Bowl in the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch era.
So let me ask you a question here. I don't know if you caught this last night. I don't know when you got home, and who knows if you're getting dragged to other places right after the show, because that's been a constant theme for Hot Take Hickey. But when you were watching the Amazon broadcast, I don't know how much of the post game you did watch. I think this was the post game. It seemed like everyone on the panel was making it out to be that obviously it's Super Bowl or bust, but the window closes kind of after this year for the 49ers, where they've been so close the last 3-4 years. You get some of these guys getting up there in age, right? There's only so many years that Christian McCaffrey could stay healthy. I know it hasn't happened a lot, but it happened last year. He's healthy so far this year. Trent Williams, even though he's still a stud, he is getting older. Kittle is getting a little bit older as well. And it kind of brought me back to Lijay Duzabal, who joined us before the start of the season, was like, this is the last year for the window for the Buffalo Bills because you can only get close so many times without getting over the hump. Do you feel like that this is the last year for this core to go get the job done? Because that's the way that they were making it seem on the broadcast last night.
Not at all. I mean, unless I missed something, right? Like, Brock Purdy's going nowhere. Christian McCaffrey's going nowhere. Debo Samuel's going nowhere. George Kittle's going nowhere. We know Nick Bosa's going nowhere. Fred Warner's going nowhere. I mean, I could list 10 other guys. Won't waste anyone's time. Unless I miss something and they're all gone next year. Not at all.
And also, not only that, this NFC, who's going to be the consistently great teams year in and year out? Philadelphia, I could see it. If you want to argue the Cowboys, they're always good. It's just, can they be great? Now, outside of that, like, is Geno Smith going to be great for 3 or 4 years? That's tough to say. Or, you know, there's not a lot of young quarterbacks in this conference. Sure, you got Bryce Young. Sure, you also got Jordan Love, and we'll see what happens there. The Vikings going to have a new quarterback after this year. There's a lot of uncertainty. And we don't know what the quarterback's going to look like moving forward in the NFC. So I think the 49ers have, a window of 2 to 3 more seasons, bare minimum. And eventually, with how good this team is, they're going to crack through. So I will say that the 49ers win a Super Bowl in the Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch era. I'll go on sides.
All righty. Just 3 weeks into their young careers, both Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson will miss their first career starts on Sunday. Young has been ruled out with an ankle injury as the Panthers take on the Seahawks, while Richardson has been ruled out of Sunday's game against the Ravens with a concussion. Onsides or offsides, Zach, you are concerned about the longevity of both Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I am. It's not really the size or the lack of it by Bryce Young. It's their offensive line stinks, and they have no number one weapons. They got to go and be very aggressive next year in free agency. And you look at Anthony Richardson, we know he could run the ball. He could throw the football too, but it's how well can he consistently throw the ball? And we haven't seen him put it all together. But right now, Indianapolis, I know they have a win on the season. And the week one up against the Jaguars, they did hang in there. And they did a nice job taking a 4-point lead late in that game. But for the most part, this team has a long ways to go. Where Jonathan Taylor probably is not on this team next year. The offensive line. How has your line looked? You watching it more than me, because last year they were so disappointing. How much do you think they bounced back through two games this year?
They look a lot better. I'm not going to say they're back to their 2020, 2021 heights of being one of the best, but they are definitely on the right track of getting there.
So that's a step in the right direction. But still, this team has no offensive skill position players. Taylor not playing right now, going to be gone after this year, I think. And outside of that, like Michael Pittman Jr. is more of a 2 probably than a 1 we're seeing. And has this guy Pierce done anything this year?
No.
And he was a second round pick for you guys?
Second round pick, yes, sir.
Yeah, so there's a lot of work to do, and they're going to ask Anthony Richardson to basically be like 96% of their offense. So I am concerned because both of these situations are just bad situations right now. And also remember, the Panthers don't have their first round pick this year because they traded it to go get Bryce Young. And that's going to be a top 5 pick going back to the Chicago Bears. So on sides, I'm concerned about the longevity of both Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson.
To put it nicely, it's been a week from hell for the Chicago Bears. And guess what? It got even worse. It was discovered early Thursday morning that more than $100,000 worth of maintenance equipment was stolen from Soldier Field, including ride-on mowers and gators. Now, thankfully, we don't have a home game, so I don't got to worry about cutting the grass this week at least, but that adds now on top of what was a surprising resignation of defensive coordinator Alan Williams. Justin Fields calling out the coaching staff and then calling out the media for misquoting him, and now you face the Chiefs. Onsides or offsides, Zach, this week will improve for the Bears, and they will cover the 12.5-point spread against Kansas City.
Man, you're not a nice person. You're really not a nice person.
Well, I didn't steal the equipment.
Bears fans have went through a horrible week. Whatever happened with their defensive coordinator, Justin Fields throwing the coaching staff under the bus and then trying to walk it back, and you had that fake hug in practice the other day. And Nathan Peterman getting cut, then getting brought back to the team. This is just all over the place. It makes you say, what the hell is going on out there? It's really disgusting with the Bears. And now you're expecting the Bears to go to Kansas City, Arrowhead, against the Kansas City. How about those Chiefs? Where they haven't really even played a great game yet, Kansas City. And you want me to pick the Bears plus the 12.5 points? I don't care if this ends up being a good game. In the right state of mind, I cannot plus the 12.5 points with the Bears. Hammer the Chiefs this weekend, laying the 12.5. So, no, this week will not improve for the Bears, and they will not cover the spread of 12.5. So, I will go offside.
Offside!
Do you think they're going to cover?
No, I don't.
Okay. Natural contrarian, I just wanted to check in with you.
I'm with you there. It's going to be the ugliness will continue for at least the rest of the week. All right, finally, speaking
of
ugliness.
Let me ask you this. If you're a Bears fan, would you rather have a heartbreaking loss this weekend or just get blown out? Like, the team's not going anywhere. It doesn't really matter, but what would you rather have happen with
everything that's going on? What's the score of the heartbreaking loss? Is it
31-30.
Yes, I'll take that.
Fields driving at the end of the game down to the 4 and throws a pick.
That over a 13-10 heartbreaker without a doubt. Or over a 40-0 loss without
a doubt. Okay, gotcha. I was going to say.
Because I get 13-10 heartbreaker where the offense doesn't look any good anyway, then no, get me blown out because I don't need the extra heartbreak. But if the offense looks good, at least I could take some positivity from a Bears fan of, okay, at least something was different and better compared to the first 2 weeks.
Well, how do you not know Fields didn't throw two pick sixes in the game?
But you also scored 30 points, so something's working.
So if it's, well, a lot of it could be him throwing it to the other team, you know?
Who throwing to the other team?
Well, I'm saying maybe the Bears defense steps up and gets some of those points on the board, too. Yeah. So let's say 17-16, Fields throws a late interception.
No.
Not good enough.
Give me 40-0 at that point.
Gotcha.
Speaking of ugly, let's keep it rolling. Vikings and Chargers. Oofa. Both meet up this weekend, 0-2, looking to save their seasons. And Minnesota's a home team, looking to get back on track after their 13-win season in 2022. LA comes in with the worst defense in terms of yards allowed per game. And they are allowing, in terms of points per game, 31.5, third worst in the league.
Yikes.
Onsides or offsides, the Vikings should trade Kirk Cousins if they lose on Sunday.
Whoo, that's a good question. So I would say yes, but then part of me fears, without a long-term deal done with Justin Jefferson, even though you'll be bringing in a new quarterback next year, does Justin Jefferson just get tired with the organization? What are you getting back for Kirk Cousins? Jets are on the phone. Jets aren't willing to give you a first-round pick, but they're willing to give you a second-round pick.
I would take a second-round pick.
You would. I just don't. You know, I'm going to lean no here, and I'm going to go offside. Just
offside.
I don't want to ruin or risk ruining the relationship with Justin Jefferson. So I would not trade Kirk Cousins. I could see why they would. And if the Jets want to give up a first-round pick for 1 year because then Rodgers is going to come back next year and then Kirk Cousins goes to free agency, okay, then you probably have to take it. But it better be a king's ransom that you get back in a deal, which is tough with a quarterback in the final year of his contract and all that. But I'm fearful and apprehensive of ruining that relationship with Kirk Cousins. All right, with Justin Jefferson. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's take a break. Who needs to win the most this weekend in college football? We'll get into that and evaluate that on the other side.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You look at some of these marquee matchups for this weekend in college football. It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Who needs a win the most this weekend? You go through these schools, Florida State, and they could send a huge statement to the ACC where at a conference, right, you beat LSU. Everyone's picking you right now. I picked them to win the ACC before the start of the season. But now people are saying you got to get to the college football playoff or this would be a disappointing season. And you have Clemson, who's been the standard for the last decade or so, winning the ACC 7 out of the last 8 years. You haven't had a win up against Clemson, I believe, since 2014. This is a game where if you look at it for Florida State, if you lose, it's okay, even though you won big in the second half against LSU. Inside your own conference, you couldn't get out of your own way, even though you could have a time at the end of the year to right that wrong. But if you beat Clemson, and not only beat Clemson, take care of Clemson pretty good, you know, you could have some takes being made on Monday or Tuesday of next week when people get back into the work week of, is Florida State the best team in the country? That may not be fair to Georgia because I know Georgia did not play great up against South Carolina, all right, and Michigan hasn't played anyone yet, and those are perceived to be the two best teams in the country. But for Florida State, if you start off the year annihilating LSU and then annihilating Clemson, a lot of people, I know they're getting a lot of attention right now, but it's going to go to a different level. You look at Clemson, though, their opponent, they just as badly need this win. Now, I don't believe in Clemson this year, but even last year when we all knew they didn't have that great of a team, they still won the ACC. And if you're Clemson, you lose to Duke and you lose to Florida State to start off the year, it's tough for me to think that you're not going to have another loss in conference, where if you only have one conference loss, right, you can still get to the ACC championship game. Even if you have two, you could maybe argue the case that you could still get to an ACC championship game. But if you end up getting like three losses or four losses, you're going to be toast. And you look at this Clemson team, if they have two losses before the calendar flips to October, I'm not going to feel good about this Clemson team. And I don't feel good about this Clemson team. Notre Dame, you know, the Notre Dame conversation to me, I think it's a fascinating one. Because for Notre Dame to get to the college football playoff, you almost think they have to be perfect. Now, I don't know how we're going to talk about these teams later on in the year. USC, you think, is going to be in the mix and is going to be one of the most talked about teams in college football. Clemson, we got to wait and see. But if Notre Dame can get this one against Ohio State, I don't want to say it's, you know, like, it's difficult to evaluate it, because if you beat Ohio State, then if you lose to USC or you lose to Clemson, I wonder how people are going to perceive that. Because, Hickey, you know this, if Notre Dame wins this weekend, that's when the talk is going to start about what Notre Dame needs to do to get into the college football playoff, where I think we were all cognizant of the fact that Notre Dame was a good team entering this season, but could they be very good or could they be great? And a lot of people, they are apprehensive to put Notre Dame in the college football playoff, because the last few times they've been there, or going back to that BCS national championship game against Alabama, they got their doors blown off. But this Notre Dame schedule this year, it is loaded. Ohio State this weekend, at Touchdown Jesus in South Bend. You then have Clemson still on the schedule, USC on the schedule as well. I wonder if Notre Dame is going to lose, Hickey. Like, let's say they could get in with one loss. Which is the one that behooves them to lose, or does it not even matter? Like, they got to beat Clemson this year. Does it matter between Ohio State or USC, or do you think that they need to be undefeated to get into the playoff? Because it's tricky to kind of dissect what the Notre Dame scale is going to be.
I think they have to be undefeated. I mean, if you say they could get in at 11-1, probably. I guess it depends how Ohio State and USC do. Like, if you tell me USC is a 12-1 Pac-12 champ, then okay, lose to USC. If Ohio State loses three games and they lose, you know, Notre Dame beats Ohio State, then Notre Dame beats Michigan or lose to Michigan. Ohio, like, it depends how they.
Well, let me
out.
Just say this. Some people thought before the year the SEC, right, it was me, and also the Big Ten could be the college football playoff. If Notre Dame has one loss, and let's say it's by a field goal to either Ohio State or USC, or a touchdown or less to Ohio State or USC, I think that takes out the potentially takes out the one loss Big Ten, no champion, the one loss SEC, non-champion as well. Because if you have Notre Dame, especially with the brand of Notre Dame, only have one loss, and let's say it's to a school like USC that wins the Pac-12, now I don't know if the committee's going to hold it against them, especially if they're competitive. But hey, the ball's in your court. Don't lose a game this year, and then you'll go to the college football playoff. But I think it's tough to decipher what scale Notre Dame's going to be graded on. Ohio State, this is my answer. I think Ohio State needs to win the most out of anybody this weekend. You know, I could also say Florida State just because of the pressure and going up against Clemson. But the Ohio State fan, it's weird that some Ohio State fans are growing impatient with Ryan Day when you look at the stats and he only has six losses in his tenure with the Buckeyes. But it's the way that they lost to both of Michigan. If you lose this weekend, and you could correct the wrong later in the year and, right, still go to the Big Ten championship game and still win the Big Ten conference and go to the college football playoff, you kind of saw Ohio State save face last year by getting to the playoff even after getting blown out by Michigan, backing their way in. And then arguably they should have beat Georgia. But you look at Ohio State, if you lose to Notre Dame this weekend, I think it's a precursor for what's going to happen to Michigan. Because, Hickey, I look at Notre Dame as Michigan Light, where on paper, they have a really good offensive line. They could run the football, and Notre Dame has the capability to kind of bully ball you in the trenches.
And definitely going into the year, perception-wise, even now, rankings-wise, I know it's not exactly a perfect, you know, exact formula, but Notre Dame, of the three big opponents on Ohio State's schedule, is the weakest and or most beatable. And it's like you extrapolate, if you lose to Notre Dame, well then, okay, you lose to Penn State, you lose to Michigan, 9-3 year, the sky's falling Columbus. Whereas at least if you win, not that again, that's a big, big win for the program, but at least eases some tensions going forward.
I don't really think there's a lot of pressure in Colorado this weekend with their start. Oregon, the coach had some fire today on Sirius XM. I'll play that later in the next hour for the news brief, but he said at the end of the day, YouTube videos aren't going to win football games. I know what Dan Lanning said before the season started with all the conference stuff where, oh, what is that Colorado ever won? And I don't fault him for saying that. He's not wrong. And then his school eventually leaves the conference as well. But I was kind of surprised. It seemed like yesterday when Dan Lanning joined us, he was very measured and calculated and smart and not trying to create a lot of noise here. And I guess this was earlier this morning on Sirius XM, where he just takes a blowtorch to that idea and that theory that I had, Hickey, of that he was trying to be calculated here and not give Coach Prime really any motivation in this one.
I mean, look, at this point, like, what is that? Like, what is that really going to do? Games are not won on YouTube. Is he wrong? No.
No, he's not.
Is that now going to give extra fuel to Colorado that they didn't have before? They're going to play harder?
That's not what I'm saying, though. But you lose, and you're going to get dragged because of this quote.
You and you lose also. You're 21-point favorites. You lose, you get dragged anyway.
But you lose and don't act like a jackass. There's no ammunition there. No low-hanging fruit for Coach Prime to eat on up and throw back in your face. And you now gave this. The whole disrespect card will be played. Alabama, enormous pressure on them just to show that there's still a pulse there with this year's Crimson Tide. And then Penn State, if Penn State loses this game, they're just a bunch of frauds. I don't even think they're going to factor the conversation because they'll win easily up against Iowa. So before the week, you know, when we were talking about this, I was between Florida State and I was also between Ohio State, who needs to win the game the most. I'm really with, though, Ohio State now, slightly over Florida State in terms of who needs to win the most, because if Ohio State loses, it's like, okay, you really made no progress from where you were the last 2 years. Just give me the team real quickly here, Hickey. Who needs to win the most this weekend?
Florida State.
Ah. You confident Florida State gets the job done?
Clemson wins tomorrow.
Oh, no! Hickey stabs me in the back. Go Seminoles!